Good to be back. If you're visiting with us today, we welcome all of you. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning. We have our memory verse for this week. To begin with, we'll say this together from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. You would say it with me. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let's make confession to our God together today. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. This morning, I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29 will be our text for today. If sound booth could turn my mic up just a little bit, I would appreciate it. Just a touch, not too much, just a touch. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 and through 29, as I said, will be our text today, and I'll share with you a message entitled, Him We Preach. This is God's Word. If you would join me there in Colossians 1, verse 27, I'll read aloud if you'd follow along in your copy. And I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning, and I'll read through verse 29. This is the Holy Word of God. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. May the blessings of God be upon the reading of His Word to our hearts this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father, it's so good to be in the church, the house of God, which is the pillar and bulwark for the truth in this world. And, Lord, we're just grateful that we can gather today, the assembly of the called out ones. And, God, I'm thankful for the worship through song today, prayers through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And now, Lord, this ordinary means of grace, the reading of your word and the preaching of your word, may it be effective in our lives today. I pray you'd give me strength and grace to be able to deliver your word to your people in such a way that is clear. And I pray you'd give us all eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we will, Lord willing, get back into 1 Corinthians two Sundays from today. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that. So that's the plan. And hopefully then on that Sunday night, we'll get back in the book of Zechariah on Sunday night as well. Had a break from that for a while, but we're grateful for the Lord's blessings. I think we've had five baptisms over the last few weeks, and the Lord just blessing us in that way with folks coming to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, in the 18th chapter, when Paul was in Corinth, the Bible says about them, it says, hearing, they believed, and were baptized. And it's pretty simple, really. You hear the gospel, you hear the good news of Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen again on the third day. You believe it, savingly believe it, and you're baptized. That's how the Scripture lays it out for us, and that's what we encourage you to do. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe if you have believed but you haven't obeyed in baptism, then my encouragement to you and the Scripture's encouragement to you is to obey the gospel, obey the Word of God, and follow Him in believer's baptism. Colossians 1, I entitled this, Him We Preach, but I also could have entitled this message, if you want to write down an alternate title, 5 M's of Gospel Ministry. 5 M's of gospel ministry. And we will, from this passage, find these 5 M's, and I hope that they are clear to you as they are to me in the structuring of this message. And I know that as you sit there, you're like, we sure hope it was clear to you, because if it wasn't clear to you, then it's sure not going to be clear to us. But in verse 27, as we look there, the first thing that we're going to see is the mystery of gospel ministry. The mystery of gospel ministry. Having just come off the Peru mission trip and these things becoming being evident to me there, I thought about them in the context of the local church. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. We have Youth Camp coming up next week. And we are constantly each week teaching the Word of God. And we are doing that through small groups. We're doing it through from this pulpit on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. And on Wednesday nights, we are constantly teaching the Word of God, and we are ministering for the sake of Christ and the gospel. Well, in verse 27, I would just point out to you the mystery of gospel ministry. If you look to me, look at it there with me in verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let me ask you a question as we look at this to begin with. In verse 27, it says, to them God willed to make known. Who is the them? To them God willed to make known. Now you might say, well, to the Gentiles. But I'd ask you to look at the verse that precedes this in verse 26, where there he says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his, what? To his saints. And then he says in verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory. So to the saints, God willed to make known. In this particular instance, he is referring to the Gentile saints that are a part of that. But the saints are not just Gentiles, they are Jews as well. When we were in Peru, what we found is that there is, because of the Catholic influence there, there is much prayer that is made to saints. And their view of saints was folks who had lived as a Christian and or were a Catholic, and they did many wonderful things, good works in this life. And then after they died, they were labeled by the church as a saint. And then they believed that because they were labeled as a saint, you could pray to that saint and that saint would be close to Jesus. So then that saint could take your prayer and talk to Jesus and then find favor with Jesus. And then Jesus finds favor with God. So your prayer can ultimately be answered because it goes through these mediators in order to get it to God. And in the police station there in Cochise where we stayed, there was a Saint Rosa that they prayed to, and I think that that was something that someone that the police department prayed to throughout the country. But we see here in verse 26 and then 27 that saints are not at all what I just described to you, but saints are those, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord. Saint is one who is a holy one, someone who is set apart unto God. And if you are in Christ today, you are a saint. You are one who has been set apart unto God. You are one to whom the mystery of the gospel has been revealed. You see, there is a mystery in gospel ministry, and it is a mystery that can only be ultimately revealed to the lost sinner, the dead sinner, dead in their trespasses and sins, if it is made known to them by God. You see it in verse 27. To them God willed to make known. Today, if you are in Christ, if you believe in the gospel, and with all of your heart for salvation, confess Jesus Christ as Lord with your mouth. If you are in Christ, then it is because God has willed to make known to you what are the glory, what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And what is this mystery? We see it at the end of verse 27. If you want to write this phrase down to go along with this point, this is where it comes from, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that cannot be discerned by human means. It cannot be discerned by the will of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but it is for those who have been born of God, and it is divinely described to us in our understanding. So the mystery of the gospel ministry. As we go throughout Vacation Bible School, as we go throughout youth camp, as we stand and preach before you, we understand that the The effectiveness of the gospel, the effectiveness of God's word is ultimately determined by a gracious God who takes his word and uses it in the life of sinners and of saints alike to edify us and to sanctify us. The mystery of gospel ministry. But the next thing we see is the message of gospel ministry. And we can go down to verse 28. And here we see in the first three words, him we preach. What is the message of gospel ministry? It is him. It is Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You could go back to verse 15 of this chapter. It is him who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It doesn't mean he was the first one who was created, because Christ was not created. But he is the preeminent one. He stands in a preeminent place above all of creation because of who he is. We see in verse 16, we proclaim him who by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. We see in verse 17, we proclaim him who is before all things, and in him all things consist. And in verse 18, we see we proclaim him who is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You see, we proclaim him who in him it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, in verse 19. I don't know if you've recognized it yet, but the pronoun he and him is used over and over again in this first chapter of Colossians to speak of the work of Jesus Christ, what God has done through his Son in this world. And it is this Jesus that we proclaim. It doesn't matter if it is in Peru. It doesn't matter if it is here in Harvest. It doesn't matter if it's at youth camp or if it's vacation Bible school or on the mission field. It does not matter, because we proclaim him, Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again on the third day. And he alone is the only hope for sinners. It doesn't matter where you come from or what color your skin is or what language you speak. There is but one Savior, and that is Christ. Therefore, him we preach. It doesn't matter where we are, what time it is, or what season it is. We preach Christ, crucified, risen again on the third day, according to our gospel. This is the message of gospel ministry. But we also see in this the method of gospel ministry. In verse 28, again in these first three words, we see him we preach. It is like the heralding of an announcement publicly. And so we preach Christ publicly. We are his ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. It doesn't matter if it's in the local church or if it's overseas. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we preach Christ crucified. The preaching of the gospel is the means, the method, the primary method through which the gospel will go out. Did you know that? Church, did you know that? Because you must know that. We must never forget that. We must not think that it is through visions or through angels flying through heaven, though that will occur one day according to Revelation, I think chapter 14, proclaiming the everlasting gospel. But the way in which the gospel goes out and lost sinners are saved is through the preaching of him, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must never forget that. We must always stand on that. We must always believe that, because that is God's ordained means through which the gospel goes out. If I need to prove it to you, I will with just a few passages of scripture. I would start in Mark chapter 1. Here in Mark 1, we find in the ministry of Jesus, where it says in verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then in verse 38 of Mark 1, it says, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I came forth. Jesus in Mark 1:38 said this is the reason that he came forth, is to preach everywhere. And now we could go to Acts chapter 8. And here I would remind you that when the church was under persecution, facing suffering because of the sake of the gospel, and this led primarily by Saul before God had saved him, who would become the apostle Paul, the church was persecuted. And the Bible tells us in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That was the way in which the gospel was getting out, was through the preaching of the word of God. And then we could go to the book of Romans in the 10th chapter. If you need a little bit more proof than what I've shown you already, and maybe what I've shown you is not even substantial in your mind, but in Romans chapter 10, here in verse 14, we find 14 and following that the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to stand here before you, church, and thank you for generously supporting the mission effort to Peru. As we were there, and we were having a workshop, I was teaching through some scripture on evangelism and missions to the group that we had there. And I came to this passage of scripture, and I was broken by your generosity to help us and support the mission effort in Peru. You sent us there, and I promise you, we preached the gospel while we were there. You sent us, therefore we preached. And because we preached, they heard. And because they heard, some who heard will believe. That's the way it works. That's the way it ought to be done. And by God's grace, that is what we have done. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here we find, and as I'll show this to you as maybe a final example. Because in 1 Corinthians 1, we could go to verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Verse 22. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Notice in verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now let's go back in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. The preaching of the gospel is the way in which God is getting out the gospel to this world. But you might say, well, I don't do any preaching. I don't stand up in front of people and preach, so I guess I don't get to take part in that. But you know, that's really not true. There's another reference I could have shown you, and it's in Acts chapter 8. Do you remember the Philip, the evangelist, and the Ethiopian eunuch? For as far as we know, that was a one-on-one conversation. Y'all remember that? And does anybody remember what book of the Old Testament the eunuch was reading from? Isaiah 53. Do you remember what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8? From that passage, Philip preached to him Jesus. One-on-one conversation, but he preached Jesus to him. Now, what does this preaching look like? If you go back to Colossians 1, Paul actually gives us a good description of what preaching is. In verse 28, Colossians 1, it says, "Him we preach," and then there's two things here. If you're taking notes, you wanted to write down two words underneath preaching, "Him we preach," you could write warning and teaching. So, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. When we were in Peru, they have a Lord there that they call Lord Cachui, and it almost sounds like you sneeze. That's kind of the way I was able to remember it. But they had a Lord Cachui in addition to the other saints that they prayed to. But they had this Lord Cachui, and some of them in their businesses would have an idol hanging on the wall of Lord Cachui. And I use that or tell you that because this is an example of warning every man. It is the word that we get the word nouthetic counseling from, or biblical counseling, nouthetēo. And it means to admonish, it means to warn, it means to put into the mind. So in other words, you've taken the truth of God's word, you've taken whatever it is that a person is caught up in, and you show them from the Bible how what they're doing is wrong, and you put it into their mind. Whereas before, it was not in their mind, but now, because you have warned them and admonished them, it is there. Preaching is very much that. As we were there and preaching openly in open-air preaching, some of our preaching was the calling out of the idolatry in that place. So we warned them. But we also see in this second part where it says teaching every man. And this is simply instructing them. And now I want to give you another example from our trip. A man named Eloy was at some of the open air preaching. And on this particular evening, as I was preaching, I think it was our last evening there, he was sitting along with some other ladies who were listening, and he seemed a little bit put off by what was being said. And at the end of each time where I preached, I would say to everyone who was listening, "Are there any questions? Do you have any questions?" And most of the time there were questions that were asked. And I asked them if there were any questions. There were one or two from the ladies. He seemed a little perturbed. We went ahead and put our things away, but by the time we came back around, he was talking to one of the ladies there. And what he was saying is, talking about me, that all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for justification. And we emphasize that because they believed in large part that you had to keep the law, and that when you die, Jesus will decide whether or not you can go to heaven or not, how obedient you were. So we really emphasize justification by faith in Christ apart from the works of the law. So his hang-up was this. He had come there to coach us because his wife was sick, and he was told that there was a saint there that could heal her. So he brought her to coach us, having spent all of his money to do that. She was from that area, I believe. And he prayed and gave money to this saint in the Catholic Church there. And then he said his wife was healed. And he says, "So that happened, and now you're here saying that you're justified by faith in Christ alone. So which one is it? Who healed my wife? Was it a demon? Was it the saint? Or was it God?" And in the midst of that, as I was standing there, I said, "Lord, please help me." Because as he began to pose his problem, I was not sure what I would say. But a passage came to mind that we memorized and put to a song many years ago as a family, and I have used since. But it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. And it reads like this. Because he said, "Tell me, can you tell me?" And I looked at him just as serious and just as confident as I possibly could. And I said, "Yes, I can tell you who healed your wife." And I said, Deuteronomy 32, 39, the translator, the interpreter read it for me. It says, "Now see that I, even I, am he. and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. I said, God healed your wife. Because the Bible tells us that there is no other God besides him. There's no one else who can do that. And God in his mercy, though you prayed to a saint and sought help in some other direction, God in his mercy healed your wife, and you ought to be thankful. He said, yes, but what about these idols? What about all of this? And I said, interpreter, Joel, will you turn to Psalm chapter 115? And there he read Psalm 115, and it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the praise. And in Psalm 115, it goes on to discuss, to tell about these dumb idols that people worship. How they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. So we read that to him, and he said, it's clear. Clear. And then I had the interpreter read to him from Galatians chapter 2 that speaks of justification by faith apart from the works of the law. And he read it to him, and I wish I could say it in Spanish, but I can't. I will mess it up, but I will translate it. He said this, couldn't be more clearer. He said, couldn't be more clear than that. That salvation is apart from the works of the law, but it is through faith in Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen again on the third day. And he left that night with a big smile on his face. It's as though all the doubts, all the wonders had been cleared away for him, and he saw Jesus Christ as the true Savior of the world. So I give you that as an example of teaching. You see, preaching goes forth in warning and admonition of the hearers to put into the mind the truth of God's word, but it also goes forth in teaching them the truth of who God is and what his son has done to save us. Well, that's the method. Let's look next and quickly at the mission. As we go back to Colossians chapter 1, see, I knew that in any report and update that we give, I could have spent the whole time doing it. So I'm going ahead and getting some of my report in right now. And that way the other folks have time when we do give that update. Colossians chapter 1, you see in verse 28, the mission. And it doesn't matter where you are. Local church or mission field or downtown Huntsville or at the store, when we're sharing the gospel, when we're preaching Christ, when we're warning every man, when we're teaching every man, we all have this mission. At the end of verse 28, you see it there, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Teleos, perfect, complete, mature. That's our goal. I want you to know that that's my goal for you. That's my goal in the ministry from this pulpit, is that every member of this congregation would be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. That's why we preach him. That's why we warn. That's why we teach. That's the mission. Finally, the might of gospel ministry. Verse 9 gives us the might, where Paul writes there and he says, to this end I also labor. It's the idea of working. Working even to a point of exhaustion. To this end I also labor, striving The word for striving here is the word that we get agonized from. You might have the translation where it says struggle. It's the idea of struggling or agonizing in an athletic competition. And if you've ever played sports of any kind, you know something of what this is. To this end, I also labor, striving according to, notice this, His working, which works in me mightily. You see, the might of gospel ministry is not found in any man. It is not found in any woman. It is not found in any organization. It is not found in any program. It is not found in any schemes or working of ourselves. But the might of gospel ministry is found in God, who supplies us with the strength which we have in order to serve Him. That is where the might comes from. That is where the power comes from. Not only is that where our physical power, strength comes from in order to labor and strive, but the power of the gospel to save lost sinners comes from a holy God whose gospel belongs to Him. It is the gospel of God, and that gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So this morning I've shared with you five M's of gospel ministry. And I want to remind you that these M's apply everywhere at all times as we, as the church, go forth with the truth of God's word. This morning perhaps, well, I've showed you the mystery, the message, the method, the mission, and the might of gospel ministry. This morning though, I wonder among you, among us, are there any here who have not obeyed the gospel? We preach Christ crucified, risen again according to our gospel. We preach Him. We proclaim Him. And we warn and teach. And my question to you is, have you followed the Lord according to His word in obedience? The Bible tells us, as I told you earlier in Acts chapter 18, that the church in Corinth hearing, believed, and were baptized. Baptism is the biblical response to repentance and faith. And if today you know that you have not been obedient and you need to because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we urge you, come and talk to one of the elders. We urge you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We will help you to do that. Let's pray together. That's all I've got for you this morning. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture where it informs us so much, God, about what we do. It does not matter, God, when, where, whether it be Sunday, Wednesday, whether it be on the streets of Huntsville or in the villages of Peru, it doesn't matter. These things apply across the board. And Lord, I'm just grateful for that. I pray that this passage will embolden us as the church to go forth with the gospel more and more. And Father, I pray that as we go forth, that we will go forth in confidence because of the things that we hear from this. Lord, I pray for everyone here. I pray that God, everybody here, everybody under the hearing of my voice, those who maybe are not here this morning for whatever reason, but are yet a part of this church, I pray, God, that they would be presented perfect in Christ Jesus because of the preaching of Christ. For any today who need to obey you, Lord, I pray you'd give them courage to do so. And have a good testimony of Jesus Christ in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.